Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Twos Talk with Dino, Tosh, and Donnie. Dino, I'm starting with you today, bud. What's new? I know the listeners can't see, but I can. I got a good look at this face, bud. Tell us all about
it. Well, today's theme was cleaning. Mm-hmm. I cleaned out my inbox, it's at zero. It's at zero. There's no mail in my inbox. Everything's sorted cleanly. And then so I just kept going. And, I got to admit, I was trimming the goatee a little bit. And you know how sometimes you go a little too thin? Like close to the I just went, ah, damn.
So off it went. That's a bold move, Dean. And it looks good, though. You'll be fine.
Every once in a while, you got to do it.
No, for sure. Yeah, so good for you. You look great, man. You look 25. Tosh, how about you, bud? What's happening?
Good, Donnie. Yeah, talking about goatees, I remember Nationals and Owen Sound. He tried to look a little bit younger, so he got that Grecian formula.
Don't.
To touch up his...
Just
to
for
touch
men?
Up his, yeah, kind of. And he's touching up his goatee, and all I can hear is, oh, no. And he came out of the bathroom. He looked like Count Chocula.
Abe Lincoln. I was going with Abe Lincoln in it.
Yeah, so then he shaves it all off, and now he's got this black
The line. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Because that's a dye, Tosh. For you at home who don't use Just For Men, that's a dye. So that goes right in your skin. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked like I dipped my mouth in a whole bowl of chocolate.
Speaking of guys that should use Grecian formula.
Well, you want to get rid of it. So I'm going to caution the listeners. There's been quite a bit of shenanigans going on with this podcast offline. We've got two guests on, which is never a good idea, but we're gonna see what happens here. So we're really happy to have Ray Tilley and Marty Kernighan on today. A couple legends for sure, and they've been roasting each other this entire time. So I'm not sure we'll get into any stories. It's just gonna be a 1 hour, just a shit talk. So let's go. Ray, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Marty, good to see you.
Donnie, thank you. My pleasure.
It's good to have you guys. So we have a lot of fun on this cast, and it sounds like this one's going to be right there with it. So I'm going to start with you, Ray. Ray, how'd you get your start in the game?
Well, actually, I was a baseball player when I was younger. I started playing baseball, played baseball until I was 23. And
whoa.
When I was done playing,
whoa.
Shut up.
23?
Yeah.
That's a career for most people, dude.
Most of us would be done.
23.
Oh,
they didn't
God.
Tell you to quit by then? You actually just quit until you were 23 years old and played?
People have been telling me to quit for years, Ray. You're fine. You keep going. This is a good story.
Okay.
Guys, let's go here.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. This is the way it goes.
So anyway, I was playing baseball until I was 23, and that was the junior eligibility age. So I was playing in Woodstock, and then they had no senior team, so I started traveling. I traveled to St. Thomas for a year. Then I traveled to Cambridge for a year. And I started playing fastball with my buddies in town, just shits and giggles. So I got tired of traveling, and I took up fastball, and the rest is history.
Ray, you're from Woodstock, Ontario?
Yes.
Is it true there's a good cheese factory in Woodstock, Ontario?
No, that's Ingersoll.
Ah!
Very close.
Close enough, Donnie.
Thank you. I just want points.
By the cheese on his face.
Yeah. That's one
is
for
anybody,
Marty,
is
everyone.
Talking to you? Hey, is anybody talking to you? Yeah, you.
Hey.
You right there.
Okay, well, that's very good. So we learned a bit about cheese. Marty, let's go with you real quick. We'll go back and forth. How'd you get your start?
Well, I started in the women's side,
mm-hmm.
and I was pitching to a bunch of young ladies. No, I did the whole baseball thing. I did the whole baseball thing, too. But I didn't wait till I was 23. I kind of jumped over when I was 13, when most normal people
mm-hmm.
do. But I didn't want to outlive my welcome there for sure. But anyway, I started playing both, I guess, when I was 13. Tried to hang on to playing a little baseball, and then the softball kind of took over, I guess, in our era, at least my era. I don't know about yours, Bill, but... If you could throw the ball 90 miles an hour, you weren't going to get a sniff to go down in the States and play or anything like that. So
Marty,
I jumped over.
Marty, I did some research, though. You said you made a joke that you started in the girls' game, but I read that you used to be a pitcher, yeah?
Everybody.
Oh, no.
Hold on. And a good pitcher, from what I understand. And you, when you were learning the lifter, you were throwing to your sister. Is that right?
Yeah.
And one of those took off on you, didn't it?
Oh, they always jump.
Yeah, for sure.
Boy, like, yeah.
But hey, I read.
When you spin it right, it just goes, right? When you spin it right,
I think that's
Marty,
the only rice ball I ever threw, Donnie, that actually went up. And yeah, it took her right in the forehead and broke her glasses and everything like that. So.
And needless to say, you needed another catcher after that.
One of my favorite sister, anyway.
Well, yeah. You never pitch to your favorite sister. You pitch to the one that you don't mind using as a backstop. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
So you had to find a new catcher, and I understand you used Windows instead, which also aren't great catchers. So,
yeah,
there's pretty in-depth stuff about you guys here.
Yeah, well, yeah, that one didn't go over very well either because I threw the ball through our basement window. It went through the window next door and landed on a countertop, and a guy was making a sale at the co-op. So,
okay, so let's just wait. So you said it went in your basement window and then out.
No, went out the
other
basement
side?
Window.
Oh.
Yeah, out the basement window
inside.
Right through.
That's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right through the window of the co-op and landed on the countertop there. So
and
the phone rings, of course, and the guy's just ballistic.
Did he make the sale?
I don't know what the hell's going on over there at the house and stuff, so... Down comes Dad. That's the last pitch I threw inside.
It sounded a little bit like a Kennedy magic bullet there for a sec. It's going through windows and over to the co-op and hit Granny. And
back into the left. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll jump back here. So yeah, you pitched. That's awesome. But you were a third baseman, shortstop in your time. Is that right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I played when I went to play in the upper leagues, maybe a softball or whatever, I went to center field.
Wow.
And I was out there for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And then when I went back, or when I went out west or whatever, thought I could play the infield a little bit. But
I think pitchers always start out in center field.
Yeah.
No, I've never.
No kidding.
Okay, so Ray, back to you. Woodstock, played baseball till you were 23 and then decided to play another sport, interesting enough. I read that you were an original member of the national team in 83.
Yes, I was.
And I'm waiting for Marty to drop a terrible joke on you in 3, 2, 1. Okay.
He's the coach.
No.
Weren't you and Terry really good buddies there? You and Terry Bader, didn't you guys start the national team together?
Yeah, me, Terry, and Dave. Don't forget Dave.
Dave Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
He was the original head coach.
You were either going to play softball or join the RCMP, weren't you?
Yeah, I took the latter of the two.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of you... You were an outfielder when you came to that team in 83, were you not? Hello?
I can't remember back that far.
Oh, yeah.
That's 40 years ago, Tills.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
God.
Right.
You couldn't make
it because
you had it wrapped up.
That's right. I wanted to play second base.
Yeah, well, Skinner had that wrapped up.
Oh, yeah. That's right, too.
So we'll get into your Team Canada right here, but let's talk about your, well, I guess you can't even call it your minor because you didn't start till you're an adult, but tell us about your time and your first trip down to the ISCs and who you played with in Ontario and where you went.
Oh, my God. My first ISC was, I was a pickup, I went with Agincourt, and it was in Pennsylvania. Where the heck was it?
Allentown,
exactly. Yeah, that was the first ISC I'd ever been to, and it was probably the best ball I'd ever seen. And I was just totally, totally impressed at how great the ball was then. I wasn't very good then, but it was fun. It was a fun trip.
Well, you must have turned it around because you ended up in every Hall of Fame there is, so good for you. Marty, how about you? Talk a little bit about how you...
Do you have all your rings on? You have all your rings on for later?
For the pictures?
Have you guys compared who has more rings? Because that's going to cause an issue, I bet, for sure. We only usually have one guest on, so you can just kind of pump their tires. But now we got a bit of a fight here. So here's me breaking a pool cue in half. You two can fight it out. Who?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure Billy's got a lot more.
It's endless.
Endless.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So, Marty, you went with Alberta Breaking Clutch. You were with Camrose. You've been all over, you're a bit of a suitcase, it looks like, from your resume, but you won everywhere you went. So where do you want to start?
I started with the Oshawa Tony.
I saw that in there too. Yeah, what a great name.
Yeah.
You played with
Pete?
That
was the first year. Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, the first year we went to the ISC, it was in Kimberley. And funny story, Landers was throwing with us, but we ran into David Scott, I think our third game in, and he threw the ball harder than Landers did at that point in time. Didn't have a clue where it was going, so he was a lot of fun to bat against. And I think he hit seven guys in that game, and nobody was going to get a sniff off him. He just threw it so hard, and he ended up beating us out. So I don't know. We didn't finish very well there, but it got me intrigued with the game. I mean, like Ray said, the ball on the U.S. side just seemed to be so much better as a whole. So getting back to that ISC every year was a goal, but unfortunately, it kept getting harder and harder in the Canadian ranks because the teams got better, and as we went to the ISC as Canadian teams, we started to do pretty well. So we got a little recognition that way, and then things just turned from there.
And of course, that was back in the day where you had to qualify to even go. Like, I mean, even right. at the tail end of when I say Dino and I and Donnie now, I mean, you basically just enter and go. But that was, I remember those qualifying tournaments, even, you know, we were in junior or whatever in Saskatoon. And I mean, the teams you had to get through just in Saskatoon to get to the ISC, let alone, you know, Alberta would have had Camrose, ABC, you know, Ontario would have had a whole bunch of team stills to try and yeah. qualify for that tournament. So just getting to that tournament was a big deal.
Well, yeah, they had 30 teams to their qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yep. probably 12 to 15 of them were legitimate good teams.
Yeah.
It was tough to get out of Ontario. Really tough.
Yeah.
Now we basically just have to enter a qualifier and knock it last and we get to go. So it's the game has changed a little bit for sure. But okay. So you want to talk, Marty, first about, you want to go with Camrose, Alberta Breaking Clutch. There's an awesome story, obviously with Pencor. You guys had a jet. So that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I suppose it was, yeah. Sure beats the 15-passenger van full of gear. And.
Yeah. Camrose, I enjoyed my time immensely. I mean, when I moved out there, played with a gentleman called by the name of Peter Brown, and he was a legend and just probably one of the greatest guys I ever met in the game, lived for the game. I remember talking to him later years or whatever, but he was pretty proud because he was playing in the over 30, over 40, over 50, and I think over 55 nationals. He was throwing in every one of those events or whatever, and he was always laying claim to being famous for something along those lines. But I really enjoyed Camrose. I was up there for a couple of years, and I think that's where we first met, Akash.
Yep.
Was there.
Yep.
And played together yep. a little bit, and then I ventured down south, and I played with both Dome Petroleum. I think they were only around for maybe 2-3 years, was it? Or maybe longer than that, I don't know. But played with Dome Petroleum and Alberta Break. The gentleman who sponsored Alberta Break got intrigued with it and started putting a lot of money into it, so we were might have started the whole shenanigans, I guess, about importing guys from different provinces to play on his team and everything like that. I don't know if it was good for the game or bad for the game, but we ended up with a pretty good club, that's for sure. Had a couple of stints down in the Canadians and the ISC, so it worked out really well before I decided to go south.
Okay, Ray, what about you? Let's talk a little bit about your next step there.
Meaning what?
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about your ISC. Do you want to get into your national team stuff? Because I got a page worth of information on your national team stuff.
You probably got a book.
Well, yeah, I took some notes for sure. 12 years,
yeah.
4 Pan Am golds. So you went in? So you went Caracas, Indianapolis, Cuba, Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those? Yep. What was your best experience out of those four?
One that you could tell on here.
Oh, right, yeah, and let's keep that in mind. Let's.
I really enjoyed Argentina. The food was much better in Argentina than it was in Venezuela, for sure. And I don't know, the people treated us better there. The accommodations were better. I mean, the first time we went down in 83 to Venezuela, and Marty can attest to this, I mean, we walk into this place that we're going to stay in. It's in the Olympic Village, or Pan Am Village, I guess. So they take us to our building, and then we go up to our rooms. Well, there's no windows in these little apartment things they have. There's no running water. The toilets are just disgustingly dirty. The whole place is just a mess. And a lot of the guys, the pitchers, hey, Marty, the pitchers didn't even stay there for the first week.
Why would we?
Well, of course
there
not.
We go.
Of course not. Like,
yeah, they ship.
Why are you surprised? Like,
we got stuck cleaning the bathrooms, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Argentina,
no kidding. Hey, you remember that night that we were supposedly sleeping, and something flew into that room and woke everybody up and it went out the other window? I think it was a condor, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hey, they had
they're extinct now, but it sure was a condor.
Well, we had to check the beds to make sure everybody was still there. We thought that thing came in and grabbed somebody and just flew the coop with. Holy crap. Either that, it was bad. Oh, I don't know. Maybe that was a nightmare.
No, it was bad. It was really bad.
Some questions maybe you
really
don't want to know the answer
to. Argentina was probably one of the nicest places for it's not a third world country, but I mean, Argentina, we were treated well, our accommodations were good, and I really enjoyed that trip, for sure.
Well, at the risk of offending any Venezuelan listeners, there's a lot of social unrest in Venezuela, so it's not exactly the most friendly place to go and vacation and play ball.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not.
And I mean, imagine Cuba is a real treat that way either when you played in 91, but...
I mean, Cuba wasn't that bad.
Oh, is that right?
The village there wasn't that bad. And the people there were good. And I mean, those people know how to party. It was a stadium style ballpark that we played at. And I mean, it's like 100 degrees there in the stadium. So there's no air. And I mean, these people are up in the stands behind home plate with a band and they're all up there dancing. And I mean, like I said, it's 100 degrees and sweat dripping off us guys, like unbelievably. But
from dancing?
It was a good spot. Huh?
Were you dancing?
Well, it certainly wasn't for running around the bases.
You know,
the good thing about Cuba, the Americans weren't there.
No, that's fair, yeah.
Right.
They're not really welcome there. You talked about the humidity in Cuba. You went to Manila, which I can't imagine offers a lot of break in the humidity either. Is that, how was that?
No, that was okay. Because we didn't have a village to stay in then. We stayed in a big, what they called a 5-star hotel. I mean, it was nice. It was, you know, air conditioned and it was cool. But, very hot there as well. Very hot.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of international success and you did some coaching. We're going to get into that because you've got a couple celebrity teammates, one on this cast, and Terry Weeb, I believe, is also, you played with Terry, and we talk about Terry quite a bit as what we would call the infielding whisperer or guru. He can... That guy could feel his bare hands. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And ageless, that guy. Okay, Marty, you want to talk a little bit about your trips down to the ISCs, maybe? You've got quite a long list of accomplishments on this one, so try and be brief if you can.
Talk about it, but just do it quick.
Yeah, just Cole's notes me here. Just give me the short version. So talk about that.
We were lucky enough to win. I think we won 4 of them.
You did. You got second twice. You got third twice. You're playing on Sunday every year, it looked like.
We really were. We were in the hunt most of the time. But, Jesus, I mean, the budget we ran on Donnie was incredible.
Is that right?
So I got to be a big part of that when I went down and joined Penn Corps initially or whatever, and then it became NHCD. I got involved in the scheduling end of it, so I was on the inside track to the budget, so to speak. So, yeah, we didn't lack for anything, that's for sure, and we were expected to win. I mean, not only by our sponsor, but, you know, throughout the U.S. too. They kind of knew that we were a salty dog for a little while, and we would be flaunting these records. We'd go into the ISC. I think the first year we went in, we were 94-6, and we ended up getting beat the first game by the Bloomington Hearts, and they were hosting it, I think. So that was tremendous. We did end up coming back through the loser side, and we ended up winning it. But I think we won 11 or 12 in a row. And that one, and it was pretty cool to go that route too.
I wanted to ask a question, Marty. You touched a little bit on the you know, we've been joking around about jet planes and all that kind of stuff. But I know a lot of our listeners maybe don't know what you do for a living, but I tell the story about how that came to pass, because I love that story. And I actually got to fly one of the. I'm a pilot too, just like yourself, right?
Oh, that's right too.
You know, so we got when to I was, fly the old jet.
Still living in Calgary, I decided that I wanted to go down and play with Penn Corps, but at that point in time, I couldn't go down there and work legally or anything like that. So they had a corporate jet that we made a deal. I didn't want to spend all my time on the airlines or anything like that. So they would send the plane up on Thursdays, and I and my family would jump on it, and we'd go down and we'd play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then depending upon either come back Sunday night or Monday. Well, the gentleman that flew the airplane at that point in time, he was single pilot certified in the airplane. So if nobody else was on it, I'd sit up front with him a lot of times, ask a lot of dumb questions and stuff. But my dad was a pilot in the Canadian Air Force. So I was always intrigued with it. Well, long story short, I did that for 2 years. And then the third year, the guy kind of got sick of me spending all his money going back and forth, I think. So I ended up moving down there. And the first few years I was there, again, I still couldn't work. But I did this in my spare time. So I went through and got all my type ratings and ended up flying the corporate jet for the company.
Oh,
and
my God.
Since
Fantastic.
Then, that's what I've done.
So let's just jump back a second. You're in Calgary. You decided you wanted to play with Penn Corps. I have decided I wanted to play with Hill United, but it doesn't just work that way. You don't just say, yeah, you know what, I'd like to go play for the Gremlins. So you found a way around it and said, yeah, I'll fly myself there. I got a plane.
You don't know him very well, do you?
No, I'm only learning as we go here, but it's fascinating stuff.
That's a great story.
Don't ever sit around to get asked, Donnie. Just go do it.
Just show up on, like George Costanza, just show up and like, hey, I'm here, fellas. Where's my uni?
That's right.
Yep.
It's a numbers thing.
Yeah.
But what the hell was I going to say? I don't know.
Oh, that'll happen again. Don't worry.
Oh, boy.
Well, while you think on that, I wanted to ask you.
Oh, I know what I was saying. Okay, real quick. So the year that I went down, the ISC was in Sioux City. So, of course, the sponsor was there and everything, and I had a decent tournament. And I knew some of the guys that played with Penn Corps at that point in time. So we got talking when I was down there at the ISC, and they asked me if I ever had any interest in playing, and I always wanted to play in the States. Ever since I moved from Oshawa and went out west and then, you know, toured down around through in those different leagues and everything. So this
conversation, I'm assuming it happened in the beer tent after a game or something?
Oh, yeah.
Generally, that's where all the negotiating and player trading goes.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's right.
I was going to ask you both, and I want you to hear your opinion, because you mentioned you went into one tournament, you were 94-6. For you at home, that's 100 games before you go to ISCs. What did the summer look like for you guys back when you played in your heyday? Because there's no way we play this many games now. Like, we're lucky to get 25, 30 games before Nationals or ISCs. So tell us a little bit about where you guys traveled to, where you went, and how was that travel schedule? I guess with a plane it's easier, but just go ahead.
Well, for me, I was working in corrections then, so I could work in the winter time.
What?
Shut up. You're talking to me.
Hey.
So I could work in the winter time as much overtime as I wanted, and I could bank all my hours. So in the summertime, I could use all them hours up. So from probably the middle of May till the Nationals, Senior Men's Nationals were over, I was gone every weekend. Every weekend, we had somewhere to go.
Wow.
And we you used to have to leave a day or two earlier because you were on your pedal bike going down there, whereas right. Marty was on his jet
yeah,
plane.
Well, I didn't have that corporate jet.
Okay, so Ray,
pitchers and infielders.
Ray, I didn't know you were in corrections, but looking at you on the video here, your mustache 100% screams corrections officer. Like you look like you could discipline the average convict for sure.
Oh no, we never did anything like that.
No,
you don't need to. Chuck Norris doesn't have to do it either with that mustache. He doesn't have anything to do. Just got to look at you. So every weekend, May to September, you're gone somewhere.
Yep.
Yikes.
Every weekend.
Marty, same thing?
Oh, for sure, Donnie.
What was an average weekend? How many games did you get in?
We wouldn't go anywhere unless we played seven, at least. So it was factored in that way that, I mean, it was all about getting a lot of games. I mean, every weekend was pretty much set up as a tournament, if it could be. If not, then we would go in for six games, and we'd play that host team, you know, at least six times or something. So a lot of games in a short period of time, that's for sure. And, I mean, that's why we were carrying, you know, four and five pitchers all the time, too. So whereas Dino, you're doing it all on his own.
Well.
But, you know, that's the difference.
My podcast. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, way to pump those tires. That's exactly what he needs right
now. You want to come back next week?
We can have you on as a special correspondent for sure.
Yeah.
So in your guys' primes, when you're winning all these ISC titles and competing, who was your biggest rival that you always butted heads with on Saturday or Sunday?
It was always Pencor or,
Gator?
The team out of Wisconsin, not the farm, but damn it, I can't think of it. Or no, I'm Green Bay.
Alcart. Oh yeah.
Alcart.
Could be Alcart.
No, not Alcart. No.
They were a little bit later.
Yeah. I think the first time we faced them, I think even Pieknik was pitching with them.
Oh.
Was it tough to go from Canada and go play in an ISC and then see a guy like Pieknik who's from Canada playing against you? Was that a bit of a
no,
kick?
Not really.
No?
Not really.
How was he to bat off of? Not a lot of fun, I understand.
No.
No.
It wasn't a lot of fun. There was a lot of them that weren't a lot of fun to bat against.
Who was the toughest pitcher? Who was the toughest pitcher you ever faced?
The toughest pitcher I ever faced, and no, it's not Marty Kernaghan.
Not according to
you didn't see him when he was 13.
Not according to his sister.
Hurling at 90 miles an hour through windows.
I'd move beyond that.
Yeah.
Michael White was always tough. He never seemed to have a bad game. Chubb Tangaroa in his day could spin it, I think, pretty good. And I played a year with Chubby in Saskatchewan when Don Funk brought him in. And, boy, he could throw it. I mean, he could really throw it. But you know something? Probably one of the best competitors that I ever had the pleasure of playing with was Darren. I played against Darren, but I also played with Darren. And he was just a prince of a man. I can't say enough good things about Darren Zach.
If you can reach out to him, we've been trying to get him on the cast for a while, but he's eluded
oh,
us
really?
So far. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably fishing.
Yeah.
Up north.
Yeah, he's a beauty, man. We talked about him a few times. He's just he's just not like everybody else. He is a special man for sure.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Marty, how about you? Who was the toughest guy you ever faced?
Probably Jimmy Moore with Seattle. I mean, he was always one of those guys that you think, oh yeah, I'm gonna get him next time. Never got him. He was incredible. He could throw it on a dime. He really could. Every pitch. And he had a fabulous career, and we would always, you know, when I was with Pencor or NHCD or whatever, we'd always hook up with Seattle or Decatur. And as I mentioned, David Scott earlier, he was with Decatur at that point in time. But Pete Meredith, Geez. And then a lot of older guys, you know, in the twilight of their career, I got to see and, you know, knew that they were good at some point in time and maybe hung around a little bit too long, but Alan Colglazier and, geez, who else? Tell me out, like,
Gene Holine.
Yeah.
Hung around
yeah.
too long. Yeah.
Hung around.
Still hanging. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there were so many good pitchers, Donnie. It's almost like, you know, if you ran into somebody hot, they're going to get you.
See, and we
sure.
and we
but
don't
over the course of
yeah, right. we don't get that. Sorry, Mari, we don't get that because you know the pitchers that we see now. I mean, we can definitely grab five or six guys, and we know exactly how good they are, right? I mean,
sure.
when you think back of you know when you guys were playing in your prime, there was 50 teams that had two of these pitchers mm-hmm. on, you know, and that's
yes.
that's the difference. It's hard for you guys probably to nail them down, but there's a
yeah.
handful of guys that are probably better than what we, not better, but just volume-wise, there's just more of them out there back in that time.
Well, you yeah. always remember the one you had a hard time with, but you should remember the one the good pitcher that you always had his number. Is there some of that stood out that everyone else struggled with, but you happened to just break them all the time?
No, I didn't have any of those. I didn't have a lot of success against any of those guys.
Just everybody else.
Yeah, everybody else. I always found Jevny to be tough. He was a tough guy
oh.
to bat against. He had good stuff and threw it pretty hard. Z, of course. Meredith was good. Even Peter threw it pretty hard, and he had good spots. No, I never had anybody that I could honestly say that I went up to the plate and owned them.
How about Stan Kearns? Do you guys have much to say about Stan? Like, did you get to play against him or with him or anything like that? Like, when I lived out in BC, you heard Stan
never,
quite a bit. But
I've heard the name,
I
know he's a legend, but I've never
yeah.
had the opportunity to play against him.
Yeah, I heard he had a little...
Him and Landers hook up in Hamilton or Niagara Falls one game, and it was unbelievable. I mean, that's when, you know, they were getting 16, 17, 18 strikeouts all the time. The pitchers just
yeah.
dominated the game back then, and he was mean. He
yeah,
would flat-ass throw it at you. If you ever did get a hit off him, he was going to hit you the next time for sure, and he lived up to every minute of it,
yeah.
definitely.
Well,
yeah,
so I got a question. So we've gone through, you know, we could do a whole cast with each of you just going through your careers. And I mean, you know, it's not a secret. I talk about you guys all the time as two of the greatest that ever played. And because you're both, you know, primarily infielders, I look up to you guys. Like I remember, you know, being 8 years old watching you guys, but I do, like, I look back at you know, I never got to play with you, Tills. You know, I you know, you coach with the national team, and I remember, you know, Marty obviously playing with Pancor at the time in 91 when we went down to Sioux City, and that was my second year in Camrose, and then I got to play with you that year at Nationals. And it was just, it was a whole different step. Like, you come out of junior as a 21, 22-year-old kid thinking, yeah, I'm pretty good, until you start seeing some of the guys that are actually good. So that was really cool. But one of the stories I like to tell about you guys, and I talked about a little bit, we had Smitty on too, and one of the things that I thought was kind of a turning point for the men's program was when the two of you guys joined the staff. And we had that camp in Kitchener, and it might have been the first time you guys were all together, but, you know, Smitty walks in, and Batesy was there, and then you two walk in, and now we got these four guys at the front of the room. It just automatically brought validation to the coaching staff because, you know, you guys, and I mean, I think sometimes we use the term too loosely nowadays, but you guys are legends. I mean, you guys are in all the Hall of Fames and been there, done that, won it all, and beauty guys. I mean, you've got the whole package. So just talk a little bit about that, how that transition went for you guys from, you know, you guys were stalwarts on the national team and mainstays and basically, you know, put teams on your back, that kind of thing. Tills, I remember the big home run you hit in Saskatoon, the place goes crazy, right? So I just, what's that transition for you guys look like when you walk into the room now and you're looking out at a bunch of young guys going, what do we got here?
They don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they don't get it or not, but it's, for me anyway, I think I've been to a few ballparks and I've watched some fastball over the past few years, and it's just not the same anymore. It's a different breed of kids. I mean, if they're not playing fastball, they're home on their Wiis or their iPads or whatever. They don't need to be there. They don't want to be there. They got other things they can do. When we played, I thought we dedicated ourselves to the game. We were students of the game. We sucked all the knowledge out of everybody that we could. But it's just changed so much. And that transition, for me anyway, from going from a player to a coach was very easy. At that time, I was definitely ready to make that move because my career as a player was over. I knew it was over, so it was easy, real easy for me. And coaching guys like you and Dino and all the fellas that we had on the national team, we always had a good group. It was very easy to coach them, very easy.
Hey, wake up. Hey, no, I'm right here. Yeah. I didn't know if you were done talking or stuttering. Sure. I got to echo what Ray said. I mean, I think when we joined the program, being the national program as players, we didn't have anybody per se, and I'm going to say like ourselves, we couldn't go to anybody in our so-called coaching staff and ask, you know, how to do something different, how to do something right. If we were broke, we had to fix everything on our own, I think, that, you know, if we were in a slump and, you know, work your way out of it, you know, grow some balls and work your way out of it. Our practices, I thought, were basically useless outside of, you know, taking a batting practice and doing ground balls on our own and everything like that. And I think that that's one thing that I felt we brought together as a coaching staff when Tills and I, plus, you know, Donnie and Mark, we were able to bring that, I think, to the national team that maybe, yeah, we could answer some of the questions of some of the younger players and make suggestions, which they were acceptable at that point in time. And not that I hung around the national team that long or anything, or as long as Tills did, but I could see them, you know, like Ray said, they were weaning away from the game. All of a sudden they come in and maybe think they're prima donnas and, you know, if things were going good, then everything was great. But as soon as something went bad, then they run to you and expect you to fix it. And I mean, at that point in time, they didn't know how to fix it. So, you know, whether or not they were team players or they would just go into a little cocoon and, you know, not be a part of the whole program, it was frustrating, I thought. But I really think that, you know, our generation and the generation after us was very challenging, and it was really gratifying to work with those guys for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if you remember this, Tills, and I may be paraphrasing a little bit, but I know you had this look of, what the hell are you talking about? Smitty had brought me in on the girls staff, and I was there at a camp, and I was gonna help Melissa for the first time in 13 with the junior team. And I was coaching first base for the first time. And I remember we went golfing, and I asked you a question. I said, Skills, you got any, and I was serious, you got any advice, you know, coaching first base or whatever? And he looked at me like I was, like, what are you talking about? You basically said, look good and direct traffic. Here I am. I'm going to the man. I'm going to the wizard thinking he's going to impart all this awesome knowledge on me. Yeah, like in the big game, this is what you got to think about. No, dummy. No, just stay out of the way and point to second base.
Well, and I think you did a good job of that.
I did a good job on
the traffic part anyway.
Keep the line moving.
That's right.
Well, that's because all the brain trust was on third base.
No, the brain trust is in the dugout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right. I don't think we ever lost a flip, though, did we, Till?
Nope. Not one.
Nope.
Never.
Never lost.
Go to home plate. Great.
That's awesome.
Okay, so we talk. Oh, no, sorry, Tosh. You want to
go ahead?
Well, I'm going to go back just a second. We ask everybody who comes on who's been to as many ISCs as you guys have, even nationals.
Nobody's been to as many ISCs
as these guys have. No, it's silly. Yeah, looking at this. So you might have a hard time coming up with the answer. But what was it? Is there a park that you have or just a venue that you thought stood out in your time playing in the ISCs?
I always loved playing in Midland.
In Michigan?
Midland.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely.
Was it the same park? Sorry, yep. Tills. Was it the same park that they play now? Like it's got that brick background and stuff like that?
That's a stadium. Yep.
Curry Stadium. It's still there.
Very cool.
Oh, greatest place I ever played. I love playing there. Played there for 2 years and just loved it.
Kate, what about you, Marty?
Mine was Sioux City. I mean, during the ISCs that we hosted and everything, it was a smaller venue, only two parks, thank God. I'm not big on those complexes that they have, 4 and 5 and everything like that. So they did a nice job, and they drew really well when we were in our heyday, and they were getting 10, 12,000 people. But just the way it was all set up, people were hanging from trees and everything like that. So it was real bottleneck as to where the fans could get in to watch and everything. And it never hurts that, you know, you're successful at home when you got all these people yelling and screaming and cheering. So, yeah, I'd have to say Sioux City for sure. I did like playing in the world, though, in Saskatoon at Bob Van Im. When that place was packed and everything, it was pretty interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, we actually...
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria's nice, too. Yeah, we actually talked about that. Yeah. It's come up almost every cast, and someone mentioned Saskatoon. I heard one of you mention Kimberly. That's come up quite a bit, too, as a pretty special place.
Yeah.
Wisconsin does it right, for sure. So I guess Nationals, then, if you're going to say Saskatoon, is there another venue in Canada that you really enjoy playing at?
Oh, yeah.
Saskatoon was probably the best. I always like going to Saskatoon. It's like Marty said, it's a great venue. It just feels like the people are right there on top of you, and it's just... You get you revved up. Always full house. Great place.
I like Camrose too, where they had the hill on
the
side.
I was going to say, we used to have some pretty good crowds there, huh, Tosh?
Yeah.
And Camrose and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, it was fun.
During the World Series.
It was fun.
The hill was full. Oh. Well, at Nationals even too in 91, there was a lot of people there. Just so you guys know, because it's probably been a while since you've been to the Tune, obviously, and this is I'm assuming the two venues you probably think about the most in Saskatoon are BVI and the Pat. The Pat is no longer, fellas. It's a parking lot. Yeah, it's a parking lot.
Oh, like, geez.
Yeah, can you imagine all the money you guys spent in that place? Holy. Well,
wow.
I don't know if Tills, do you spend much in there?
No, Jesus.
Back then, it was you want the girls to buy him drinks.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Ray Tilly, and you're not.
That's progressive of you, Ray. That's a good move. It's a power move.
And look at my button, John.
Oh, it's been 4 or 5 years, probably.
Oh, at least, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, crazy. It was a sad day.
I'll bet.
Yeah. So let's. I want to go back to that because we talked to Smitty about this a little bit too, and everybody that we've had on that we've talked about, Saskatoon in 09. If you guys can, just kind of give us your thoughts on that. Now I know Colonel, your perspective is a little bit different because you had to go, and I think that was a tough thing for our team as well. But just talking about that Worlds and what it meant to be, you know, playing at home and the crowds and, you know, what do you guys remember about that tournament?
And don't say Donnie Hale's home run. So, I'm pretty sick of that.
Don't worry, I won't say that.
Okay.
it's still a sore spot with me, that World. Yeah, it really is. For some reason, I don't think we were prepared
to play in it. I thought we cruised through it, and when it came to crunch time, we weren't mentally ready to play. And the Kiwis are always ready to play, and I just don't understand that why we wouldn't be up to play them in our home park. That just baffles me to this day. But I mean, that's softball, and you know, you live with it. But
it's a tough one.
It is. It was a tough pill to swallow, that one. I thought for sure we'd go in there and blow them away. Just, I thought we were good, definitely good enough as a team. I thought we were, but we did not perform. We just didn't perform.
Yeah, we definitely hit a lull in that game, and I think it was a couple of things. Maybe a little bit of rain delay didn't help. But I always go back to the play where Brad Brona hit the ball, and we had the out. The out was called. And then the U.S. umpire out in right field called time because Marty was warming up and a ball got away in the bullpen. So Rona got a do-over and he hit it up the middle to score a run or whatever it was. And,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, not that that's an excuse, but that's part of the game. I get it. But I think it's a different story when you go back into the dugout and you're not down, you're up. And yeah.
Yes, exactly. TSN turning point, Josh.
Yeah, there you go. Till. Exactly.
So you guys mentioned the Kiwis. That's always been your toughest international competition. I think everyone that's come on that's played for Team Canada has always said that New Zealand's always been the nemesis.
They get ready to play us. Boy, do they get ready. Wow. Like we never had much trouble with the Americans, ever.
No.
Boy,
no, really, we didn't.
They come to kick our ass, and they did most times, unfortunately.
But, you know, in talking about New Zealand, I think that all of us probably did a tour down there. And, you know, you're talking about making chicken salad out of chicken shit. They would just throw bases down in the middle of a field. But, boy, they could put teams out on the field that would just blow your mind. And the pitching that came out of there was incredible. And I think, you know, even 2009 or before that, it got tough because they didn't send all their number ones or their aces over to the U.S. or over to Canada that we could take a look at them or see them somewhere throughout the year. They'd show up with these guys we'd never heard of, and yet they could throw lights out all the time. So they were smart enough to, you know, keep their, I guess, elite away from us for the big games and everything. Not that we didn't see a lot of them because the cream always rises to the top, but it got tough, and I think that they played that game a whole lot better than we did. We'd have our same guys going out there all the time and, you know, try to work the whole seven innings and everything, and they never thought, you know, a magic moment for making changes. And it gets tough as a hitter to see different guys like that on the mound every inning or every two innings or something. So, and they were well coached. I mean, they had guys that have been to a lot of international competition that ran all their programs and everything. So they were good, but we were just as good, but they just didn't answer the call. So.
Yeah, that was a tough one. We had Smitty on. He talked about, up until, you know, back in Saskatoon in 15, 92 was kind of the year of Canadian softball because of the World Championships, the win in Manila. What was that like?
Well, that was the pinnacle. That was the pinnacle of softball to win, you know, to win the World ISFs. I mean, I know the ISC is probably the toughest thing to win, but when you win an ISF, it's pretty special. And all those guys on that team, they have a special place in my heart, for sure. I mean, it's just that team was that good. We were that good. We had everything covered.
And we had to be, because without a word of lie, we had to overcome the shortcomings of our coaching staff. They were ridiculous.
We got two of the guys there. Take us through the game. Take us through a final game.
Good question, Dino. Yeah, walk us through the final.
Like, that's something.
I remember standing on second base, and Chubby was pitching, and Jody Henniger was at the plate, and he threw he had him, the count was 1-1, and he turned, Chubb turned and looked at me and just took like a big sigh, and it was like, holy he's done. And the next pitch he threw, Jody parked it in left center field. And I knew then that this is over, because we got him, and they didn't have anything better than him when he was right. I mean, he was pretty damn good. But yeah, that was pretty special. That was pretty neat.
Marty, what was your experience like there?
I had a great time. I mean, being that far away from, you know, home, so to speak, but to go down there and have the success we did, it was right up there, boy, I think, too. Our team had been together for so long that it was very rewarding in the end to get, you know, the championship under our belt, so to speak. But and you always know, you know, when you go to the ISF or whatever, there's a couple teams that you've really got to, you know, rise to the occasion. A lot of cakewalks on some of those countries and everything. But to answer the call like we did down there was very fulfilling for sure.
Yeah. Not a bad staff either, hey? Not a bad pitching staff on that team.
Who was that staff? No.
Oh, boy.
Gino?
Zach. Who else? Bell?
Hey, wasn't that Gino?
Bell. Jevney?
Gino?
Gino there? No,
I don't think he was. Yeah.
Jevney was there, though, because Jevney threw the final, did he not?
I don't think Bonesway was there.
No,
was
I don't think Bonesy was there.
No?
No, it was Bell.
Was Calgary there? Jimmy Calgary?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you we'll have him phone in.
No. Let's rewind the tape. Ray Tilly, every one of those guys has a special place in my heart. Yeah. I don't know who they were, but they were special.
They are special. Every time I open that program and read their names,
yeah. Oh, I read their names. It's awesome. Yeah.
Just real quick before, because we're going to get to parting shots here right away, but just real quick, walk us through what a round robin in a tournament like ISF's, what are the countries you guys played there? Just for our listeners who don't know who all attends these tournaments.
Oh, God. Guam.
Zimbabwe.
Puerto Rico, Argentina. Argentina wasn't that bad. Puerto Rico.
They're pretty good now.
Yeah.
Things are changing
Venezuela.
In South America.
You guys went to Cuba still?
Yeah.
Cuba was still probably 10 teams.
How was Australia back then?
I think there was, was there 17, 18 countries? In
close to that, Mark.
92? I think so. Jeez.
This is the first podcast where when Donnie, when you ask a question, you get 3 or 4 questions back.
Yeah. It's a look inside the lens here for sure. So you guys did you play Guam? You played Puerto Rico? You played Argentina? Was Japan there? Yep. Was Australia there? Czech Republic?
Yeah, they were all there.
So who'd you play? Let's just go through the playoff round, because it sounds like some of the round robin was not ideal. But
hey, listen, Donnie, I can't remember what I did yesterday. How the hell do you expect me to remember what I did in 92?
I assumed a memory like that would be pretty vivid.
On our side. The only game I remember is the last one. The one that mattered.
Yeah.
As long as you win the last one, it's easy to remember for sure. I've got lots of memories of games I lost the last game, and they're not as fun for sure.
No.
Okay, awesome. Well, boys, we're at almost an hour here. And I know Tosh said offline an hour is going to fly by. We could go another 2 hours here pretty easily. But I want to go through our parting shots, what you want to leave the listener with. You want to take a poke at one of us or a teammate that you can't remember their name. You have the chance to do that now. Marty, let's start with you.
Quick before they forget.
Yeah, I'm going to have a nap. Hurry up.
Yeah. I want to go back to your comment, Tilly, about working at the correction center. Banking all these hours? You got to do something to bank hours. You know that, right? Holy Jesus.
This is coming from a guy who flies around in an airplane all day.
Yeah. Donnie, I'd like to congratulate both Dean and Tosh on putting together the whole 222 program. I've been lucky enough to work with him a couple times. And
that was awesome.
I know that things are progressing such that they're the talk of the country now, and they're bringing kids in from all over that want to be a part of a program that's been so successful. And, you know, you guys have done just a great job. My hat's off to you to putting back and giving back to the game and everything. And we never got to touch on it much, but I was lucky enough to coach with the women's side, the national team, and it was a real treat. And I know that the 222s are putting, you know, young ladies into that program all the time. So it's got to be very rewarding for you guys. And congrats and kudos. And I wish you the best of success going forward.
Oh, that was real nice. Wow.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
Ray, do you have time to think about it?
Stop that, Chili. Wow. Chili,
stop that. Phrase?
Wow. Is that sincere? Is that a tear on your cheek?
No, I was hoping I'd get invited back.
No, you're not. You and I both are not getting invited back.
Yeah. Well, you probably couldn't get off the parts truck to go. Hey, do you wear those overalls, like when you deliver in a hard hat? Like when you deliver parts, I got something for you, Chili. I'm thinking that you could deliver pizza at the same time you're delivering car parts, huh? You could double dip.
Wow.
A little side hustle,
oh,
yeah.
Now, aren't you?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Ray, you got your parting shot? Because I got mine ready. All if you want to take another
break.
Boy.
I got nothing bad to say about any of you guys.
Pull that hat down. Chili, pull that hat down. Your forehead's getting bigger.
Are you done? Okay, they asked you to talk. Now you're done. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I just want to thank you guys for having me on this. This has been a real treat. And like Marty said, you guys are doing great work. Great work. And the next time, if you would like to have me on here again, I don't want to be on with him. Mm-hmm. And you know who I mean by him.
Right. Yeah. Duly noted.
Maybe he'll be flying a plane or something. No, seriously. Thank
I could probably do this from the cockpit.
Yeah, you don't do anything else.
Hey, I spotted could do that, Marty. It's not a big deal.
That's right. That's right, Dino.
Yeah.
Marty,
that's kind of like that little statement you made about carrying the hockey team.
Marty, did you guest coach with the twos at one point?
Did so?
Yeah, I did. Well, I don't know if I was coaching, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So here's my parting shot, Marty, if you'd like to hear it. I put my name in to go on all these tournaments, you know? And the longest running joke of this whole podcast has been I never got to go to Vegas because there's always been a celebrity guest coach who has a much better resume than I do to help go. And they happen to be in Vegas. In this case, you were in Florida. So I put my name in to go to Florida because who doesn't want to go to Florida, right? And I got told, oh, no, don't. We got somebody down there already. And it was you, bud. You usurped me in Florida. So my parting shot is you fly in literally on a jet. And you're like, hey, I'll do it for the weekend. See you later. And here's old Donnie Garbage Face sitting at home waiting for the call, you know?
Donnie, we covered this earlier. You just got to show up.
Yeah, I'm going to. That's
wait
it.
For the invitation. Just show up.
That's good advice right there. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
Dino, what do you got going out?
Oh, Jesus. Well, we have, these guys have been called so many things, like Ernie and Bert, you know, what, Abbott and Costello.
Hopefully Statler and Waldorf. Yeah, man.
You know, and I mean, it has been, it's out there that maybe Tosh and I were Batman and Robin at one time, but there's no way we were the legit. Who's the first Batman and Robin?
Oh, sitting in front of us, man.
Like, yeah. These two guys, right? So they might not have kept the Batcave quite as cool as we did back in the day. It was like 65. Right? But it's been a pleasure to get you guys on here. You know, I mean, we've said it 15 times on here already, legends of the game, but just great people. And that's what this game kind of provides. We meet so many great people in the game, and you two are definitely two of those guys. And I've had the pleasure to either play or coach or both with you guys. And thank you for you know, all the ways that you've helped me, and not necessarily doesn't have to be pitching. It could be, you know, just that calm word that kind of comes out at the right time to kind of settle people down. And so I just appreciate every opportunity I've had to be with you guys. So, and thanks for coming on the show today. So it's been fantastic.
Thanks, Dino. Pleasure, Dean.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Last as always, Tosh. What
why?
Do you got?
Yeah. Why? Why? Like I'm usually the guy with the sentiments and the, yeah, thanks for coming on. And now how do I top that? Well, here's how. So
I asked myself, how am I going to do this? And here we go.
Here I am.
And here I am.
I'm
right
way
now.
Better. I'm way better than I thought I was, yeah, 5 seconds ago.
I Dino's right. I mean, you guys did a lot for our careers. Not only like, you know, Marty got to play with you, Tills, obviously watching you, but when you coach this, but I mean, even just watching you guys and how you carried yourselves around the field and some of the things that you would do in big situations, like young players, younger than you guys, not young players, younger than you guys coming up behind you. We tried to emulate the stuff that you guys did. And Tills, you and I both know that second base is where they put all the athletes, right? So we know that.
We know
all the athletes over there. But I just thought, and I'll throw it out there. It was really cool to be a young guy coming through the game. And like I said, Tills, I never got to play with you, but when we went to Sioux City, you know, and we're watching Pencor and we're a young Camaros team, and I got an opportunity then 2 weeks later to play with Colonel at the Nationals. It was a real cool feeling to sit there in the stands, watch you guys play and go, I know that guy. I don't just watch these guys. I know that guy. I get to play with that guy in a week, right? Like it was a real cool thing. And it's one of those things too, where I think, you know, and it's tough to compare generations because we've had Lolly on here and, you know, and I mean, he's an amazing ball player and he'd be amazing, yeah, in any era. We know that, but there's some guys that I just kind of grew up watching and growing up through the game watching, and you guys were obviously two of those. So it was, it's amazing to sit here and watch you guys. Like I was privy to the text back and forth that was going on where I start a text message and for the next half an hour, I'm not even involved. Like it was so awesome. And I kept telling these guys, man, we're going to have a blast because this is going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, you know, so anyways, I want to thank you guys for coming on. You lived up to the billing. And we definitely will have you guys on again. I mean, it was so much fun. But again, thanks for everything. Thanks for everything for being on here. Thanks for everything you did for me and my career, all that stuff. So,
thank you.
Donnie, just before you leave, you're invited to Florida anytime, my man. You don't even have to wait for these other three bozos. You can come down anytime.
He'll just send the plane up to get you.
I appreciate it. I'm showing up, but I can't wait.
All right.
Get that in writing, Donnie.
Yeah, you betcha. I'll get some text to Tosh.
He's got your bedroom, Tilly. Don't worry about it.
No, you don't. My name
you're
is
out.
Locked on that bedroom.
You're
locked
out.
In.
Say goodnight, Donnie.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloidminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.